And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the gospel reading today and consider these words that Jesus has shared in this parable. And as we think of this dialogue that Jesus had with his disciples then and has with you and me now, it's important to understand the context because it's not an easy time for the disciples. In fact, if you go back to the previous chapter in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is really sharing some pretty heavy stuff with them about the end times, about things that are going to happen, about severe persecutions that will come upon the church. And one of those striking verses in that chapter that Jesus shares are these words from Luke 17, verse 33. "Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it." It's a pretty heavy statement, isn't it? As Jesus shared this with the disciples then, and as we are blessed to hear it this morning, that as we go on this journey of faith, you know, we're kind of like the widow represented in Jesus' parable. The church is kind of like the widow in the sense that we live in a very broken, corrupted, evil world. And certainly if we're looking for justice upon this earth, we're going to have to probably search far and wide to find it, and especially as Christians in the context of the times that we currently live. But Jesus' encouragement comes through this parable. As he says these amazing words, "They ought always to pray and not lose heart." Always to pray and not lose heart. Isn't that incredible? These words coming from the one who truly is the judge, the one who judges all things, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, coming to you and me with encouragement. Always ought to pray and not lose heart. The Lord doesn't want us to lose heart. He doesn't want us to go down a road of discouragement and certainly not to dance with despair. That's not where God wants you and me to be in our lives, nor for the disciples then. And so he presented this parable to them, and it's really an incredible parable, very short, but when you think about the dynamics of this event, it's really something. And so we consider the main characters, and of course there's the widow. And in the context of the culture of that day, not only is this a widow that's being spoken of by Jesus, but of course a woman. And women were kind of at the bottom of the totem pole in general in the culture of that day. And then if you add the dynamic of widow, I mean, this was about as bad as it could get in terms of if you wanted to be heard by someone or to receive any kind of justice. In fact, widow and woman back in that day together would be pretty much synonymous with the word helpless. Because for the most part, widows didn't have anyone who was there to defend them or to speak on behalf of their cause. And most of the time, they were victims of unfairness. And certainly, they were the least and the last person in line. And yet, this widow has the courage and the persistence to go to a judge. Now, if it was a normal judge, that might be something, but this judge is described in an interesting way. He neither feared God nor respected man. Now, even by the standards of that day, certainly, this person, by his character, wasn't qualified to be a judge. And certainly, no matter who you were, if you're going to a judge who doesn't fear God or respect man, what kind of a character is that, and what hope would you have? And we're speaking of a widow here. So you get the sense of what Jesus is presenting here. I mean, it's like an impossible situation, and yet in it he presents an incredible event that, first of all, the widow would be persistent enough to go to the judge in the first place. I mean, talk about a hopeless and a helpless situation. But she goes, and she brings her case before the judge. And at first, the judge is like, really, you know? This is the most ludicrous thing I've ever seen. This is an annoyance to me. Just get her out of here. I don't want to deal with this person. But the widow doesn't stop. She is persistent to the very end. In fact, she's brutally persistent. And it's interesting, a word that is used in this text, and it's translated in the ESV as being beaten down. This is the persistence this woman had with the judge. She was beating down the judge with her persistence. And this word is really a boxing term. And it means to really punch somebody below the eye. Just brutally punching them over and over and over again, trying to get the knockout. That's how this woman is described as she confronts this judge again and again and again. And the judge is so punished by her beating him up in her persistence that he finally says, you know, whatever you want, lady, I'm going to give you. I don't care what the price is, I'll just give you what you want. Quite a scenario Jesus presents. Let me ask you this. Have you ever felt like the widow? As you go on your journey of faith, of life upon this earth, not an easy journey. And there's a lot of times that you and I can easily start going down that road of despair. There's times, I bet every one of us in this room can say, yeah, there's a time I felt really alone. There's a time I felt powerless. There's times when I felt like I'm just the victim of unfairness. There's times it seems like I've been disregarded. And boy, there's times where I've really felt like I'm the last and the least in the line. Have you ever felt that way? And you know what that can really do is lead to great discouragement, and in that discouragement, to have no confidence in prayer. And so right when we need to be praying the most are times when we just kind of fade away and our faith becomes that smoldering wick. You ever feel like that? Well, it's wonderful that our Lord works with us even in the midst of times like those. You know, sometimes maybe we're tempted to see God like the judge in the parable, dare I say, where it seems like, boy, God is just heartless in the way that he seems to be looking upon me and in the way it seems that he's treating me in life as we go through those very difficult times. It's kind of interesting at the end of this parable, those words, did you hear them? Serious words. It's a serious question that Jesus asks. And I don't know if it gets your attention, but it sure gets mine. And here's the question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Wow. That's one for us to ponder, right? In our own individual lives. Especially when we start dancing with despair and seeing God in a light that isn't God. But look at the heart of Jesus. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that we go to those places sometimes where we're a smoldering wick and just one little breath of air could blow our faith out altogether. And look at these lovely words. The judge now, this is the real judge. And he comes to the disciples then and to us now. And what he says is to always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. And so Jesus presents this parable to comfort us and to empower and enable us to fight through those struggles that we all go through. And it's an argument from the lesser to the greater. Jesus says, look, if even this widow gets justice from a heartless judge, how much more will God bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? You talk about the opposite ends of the scale. The scenario Jesus presents and the scenario, the truth that you and I live in, it's quite the opposite, because God is not the heartless judge. He is our judge, but he is a merciful judge. And the incredible thing about this judge is he gave to us his only begotten Son. And the incredible thing about this judge is Jesus gave his own life to deliver you and me from condemnation for eternity. That's the judgment that we should receive, but that's not the judgment God desires for us. He gave to the world his Son to deliver us from that. That's what God wills. That is the desire of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, we hear these incredible words referring to the Messiah, Jesus, the Anointed One, the Christ. He poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. Now, can you imagine the judge in Jesus' parable saying to the widow, you know what, I'll put myself in your position. I love you so much, widow, I'm just going to be there for you and I'll just become you. That's what Jesus did. He became us. He took on becoming us in the sense of taking all of our sin upon himself. He, the perfect, holy one, was numbered with the transgressors at the cross. And then we hear, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This judge became you and me. This judge lowered himself, humiliated himself to that level, and then to go to the cross and receive that judgment upon himself. What judge would do that? I know only one. And it's our Lord Jesus Christ who shares this parable. You know, in the book of Romans chapter 8, we hear in verses 31 and 32, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Wow. Jesus represented the sins of all people of all time at the cross so that we could be in a position to come to God and pray to him. That we could be in a position of salvation. That we could be in a position of hope. That we could be in a position of the security of everlasting life. You see, the reality here is that our judge not only welcomes our coming to him, but he made it possible in the first place that we could come to him. Remember the curtain being torn in the temple, separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple? And in that, when Jesus died on the cross, that happened. And in a very visual way, God revealed that we have instant access to him. We don't have to go through anyone. And it's called prayer. Always pray and do not give up. And so unlike the judge in the parable, this judge even speaks on our behalf. And we hear it again in Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Imagine the widow, if she went to the judge, and first of all, the judge invited her in, encouraged her to come, and then the judge said, you know, I want you to know I'm here for you, and I'm going to even speak to your defense. Well, we have that judge, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you say that the Lord gives us quite an encouragement to pray in light of those realities? Yes, absolutely. We are encouraged to always pray because we have an advocate and we have a direct line to God. Now, there are times when it may seem like God's not listening, right? There are times when it seems like God's delaying. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's an answer. There's not a response coming. But this is where, in our faith, we know the character of our judge. And we know he's not the heartless judge described in the parable, but he is our gracious Savior. And so in the things we can't understand, we can hang on to the character of God and know, God, I don't understand this, but I'm going to continue to pray. And I know that you hear me. And I know that you want what is best for me. Boy, that encourages persistence, doesn't it? I love this quote from one of our great church fathers, St. Augustine. And he wrote, "A person prays that he himself may be constructed, not that God may be instructed." Isn't that cool? How often do we approach prayer like in the sense of we need to instruct God? I bet we're all guilty of that. I know I am. But have you ever thought when God delays an answer that what he is doing construction in your life? That as we continue in that persistence, when we continue to go to God in prayer, even though we don't understand, it's totally confusing maybe what's going on in our lives at the time. Have you ever thought God's delaying so he can construct us? And I bet as you look back on your life, you can look back and say, oh yeah, now I kind of see what God was doing back then. It's a blessing when we can see those. I read an article about an alcoholic, and he had quit drinking. But once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. There's always that desire, that temptation to have another drink. And sometimes the battle would get so intense for this alcoholic, and it would just beat him up, and it would just consume his life. And he would pray to God and pray to God and pray to God. And yet the temptation didn't seem to subside. But then one day, a great sense of peace came over his life. And he actually started thanking God for his alcoholic tendencies. You know why? Because it put him on his knees. It kept him connected persistently in prayer with God. And his life was better for it. That's what you call persistence. But what a revealing of the judge we are blessed to know and worship. Yes, it's true. Persistent prayer changes us by helping us to see the world and life through God's eyes. Connects us with God, as, of course, the Word connects us with God. It's dialogue going both ways. And then at the end of this reading, in conclusion, Jesus gives this amazing promise. Now, this comes from the judge of judges. Not the heartless judge, but the judge that died for you and me. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, May we leave today knowing without doubt that God is not an unrighteous judge. But even if an unrighteous man will give justice to a persistent widow, how much more so will our righteous God give justice to us? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has opened the doors for prayer to him, who embraces us with his love, who gave his life for us, who lives and reigns over us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused upon our Lord and our Savior, our Judge, Jesus Christ. Amen.